Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Well, a fantastic show planned for you today. We're doing Knives Out, Baldywood. Evidently a great movie, so listen to the review. And we count down the women most disgusted to have sex with me, 2019 edition. First, Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance, and you don't have to go anywhere. You just go to Geico.com in 15 minutes. You could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket. Be the most rewarding thing you do all day at Geico. That's Geico.com. Spend a couple minutes and find out just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance at Geico.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
During the season of giving, we'd like to offer you a little something special, and all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time. We need you to complete a short survey because your opinion matters to us and helps support the show. It'll only take a couple of minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastone.study, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.study. The first 150 people to complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. So please go to podcastone.study, and as always, thank you for supporting the show. And happy holidays from all of us at Podcast One.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Craig Ferguson. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a Baldywood review of Knives Out, and we'll reveal the next round of women most disgusted to have sex with Adam. And now, reminding you this holiday that nothing says I love you like a shrimp diviner, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice. We're going to mandate. Get it on. Thanks for hitting the little share button and turning a person you know or love onto this podcast. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
Woot.
The back sack, knapsack, back
ass crack,
saga continues.
Yeah.
And we still have no answers to this riddle.
We are now 36 hours after the backpack was left. Mm. And no answers.
Do you think he was trying to dump it, like it had some stuff there that he wanted to distance himself from?
No.
Damn. All right, we'll try to figure this out. Brian will give us a little bit of an update in a second.
Indeed.
I was laughing so hard at Brian Whitman doing the ass crack and back sack in the morning. And the one part about where he used to work at Y100 in Florida. And he was friends with Shotgun Tom.
That's right.
It made me laugh so hard that he had 6 daytime Emmys for children's shows, and they were local. It just made me laugh, and I just kept listening to it, and I'd repeat it, just laugh. And I just thought, all right, well, it's 38 seconds. So I'm just going to play it for you guys again. Because what made me laugh is how he was explaining where Y100 was, and then he just fizzled out at the end. But you got it, Max Pata? Let's just listen.
The reason I come here is to inspire people having a tough time getting out of bed in the morning. And if you think I am intimidated by your midday television Miami Emmy, I work in South Florida. I worked at number 1 Y100, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, in the Palm Blizzard. And I'm going to tell you something. I happen to be personal friends with Shotgun Tom Kelly. And that man has 6 Daytime Emmy Awards from local programming in San Diego. All kid shows. Because that man has a heart and a big hat. But he wants to raise those kids because the parents, sometimes sadly, aren't around to do it themselves.
Interesting.
Good.
I like it. Where was that? What was he? What
Fort
was
Lauderdale?
Knows.
I got Fort Lauderdale.
You got Fort Lauderdale? Yeah.
I don't think we're supposed to know.
Are we supposed to know? Let me hear him just coast out on his blah, blah. Are you going to start from the top again? Is it Fort Lauderdale?
I heard a Fort Blah.
Okay, let's see if we can hear that.
Because it's
again.
Close to Miami.
Yeah.
The reason I come here is to inspire people having a tough time getting out of bed in the morning. And if you think I am intimidated by your midday television Miami Emmy, I work in South Florida. I worked at number 1 Y-100, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, in the Palm Beach.
Oh, no, sorry, Palm Beach. Yeah, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Palm Beach.
Sounds like Prohibition.
Palm Beach.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I just love the nuance of Palm running Bible. Out.
Can't get through it.
I guess that's what comedy is, right? Like, you would never write that.
You
wouldn't print.
Yeah, exactly. It can't be done.
That's the sort of it or the genius or the whatever of it. That's what kind of separates us from the animals or the Roomba vacuum cleaners or something, where it's like, I would never think that I would shoot out 6 cities or 4 cities, but I wouldn't run out of steam on the 4th one and just move forward. Shotgun Tom.
He does have a big hat.
He's a legend.
Shotgun Tom.
Is he in the Radio Hall of Fame? He should be.
He's the one who says to listen to your automobile.
Listen here, baby.
Shotgun Tom.
You got it, baby.
Is it just me, or did he used to work at 91?
He was
around the corner at Kareth.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the one. Okay. All right. Okay. San Diego.
He wore that kind of, not really, it's like a mix between a cowboy hat and a Jewish hat.
It's like the Pharrell Arby's hat.
It's the Pharrell.
It kind of had a little bit of a Mountie.
A buffalo hat.
Yeah, had a little bit of a Mountie hat to it. He is a 2-time Emmy Billboard Air Personality of the Year and has a star in the Walk of Fame.
There you go.
As he should.
What I remember most about Shotgun Tom Kelly is he had a replica of the Tonight Show set in his garage in San Diego.
Oh. Mm.
And he used to tell me the Johnny Carson one. And he used to say, come out to San Diego. We'll like sit in the garage, have a beer, and we'll sit on a replica set of the. And it was like, that would be fine if
replica set, baby.
If this was like a Make-A-Wish Foundation sort of thing. And I was 9 and it was the 60s. You know what I mean? But I'm rich. And I got a bunch of Paul Newman race cars, and then Jay's got the actual set where we watched the movies. And I was never douchey, but I was like, were pitching me this in the Van Nuys, Sherman Oaks area, we might have a shot. But going down to San Diego, no.
This is your Craig Kilborn moment. What did he say to you about basketball? I play with Gary Shandling, or I play with somebody famous. You invited them, he dismissed you as though it was an absurd request.
I was on, I was got into an elevator with Craig Kilborn, and Ferguson is going to be in here, and we'll talk about that. But I used to do his show all the time. These shows were, you have to realize how short the list was. Oh, we're looking at a set of the Tonight Show with Shotgun Tom.
That's in his garage.
In his garage. Okay.
Fix it, baby!
So I was on a super short list of guys because you do Craig Ferguson show or you do Politically Incorrect. Mm-hmm. As I've told you, it's a nightly show and you need multiple guests. And it's like the booking, that's a bitch. Mm. And I lived up in Hollywood Hills, and Loveline was in Culver City, and I would literally drive past where they, I mean, I wouldn't take that route, but it was literally right in the middle of between my house and Loveline Studio. CBS was like smack dab in the middle of those two places. And they both taped at like, I don't know, 6:30, 7 o'clock, something like that. Politically Incorrect was in the same building as Ferguson, right, I don't know, on the same floor, a couple doors down or whatever it was. And of course, it was a constant thing of I'd get the phone call on a Sunday night, like from the producer going, hey, man, we had someone drop it. Can you stop in? And also because I delivered. Like, I always showed up. I was ready. Good energy. Mm-hmm. Made people laugh. Good guests. And so I frequently would do Craig Kilborn's show. And I frequently would do PI. And my feeling was, I'm never out of town or anything because it's always just a couple hours where I have to go to work and I'm going down the hill anyway. And so instead of leaving my house at 9:15, I'll leave at 6:15 and I'll come do your show. And I would do it. And so, you know, I've done Kilborn's show like a whole bunch of times. And at some point, like we're in the and it's funny because everyone describes the guy as a douche. And it is, it's sort of DJ Khaled on Hot Ones. Like it's a perfect capsule of douchiness. And also, there is no douche snow globe. It's a fucking village. It's a way of life. Right. It's not just a little diorama. Like when somebody gives you this answer, they are a douche. It's not like, well, he's only a douche in this department.
Yeah, you caught him in a weird...
Not in another department. No, no, because the people you know that are good guys and nice guys would never answer this way. We're like in that elevator. And I was doing a show for the 66th time. And I said, you like basketball, right? You play a lot of basketball. And he goes, yeah, I do. And I said, well, you know, we get a game going on Saturday over at my party house, we call it, in Sherman Oaks. Got a nice blue top poured out there and a nice regulation hoop. And Cousin Sal comes by. Sometimes Jimmy comes by. It's not a star-studded affair, but just good dudes. Some of them better. You know, pretty good hoopsters. Guys work for the man show and stuff like that. And we have a good time. And he just looks at me and he goes, I play basketball with Gary Shandling.
like dismissively.
Okay. Anyway.
I go, okay. All right. we don't have like Sarah Silverman and Billy Crystal don't play with us, but we like for guys who like basketball. You like basketball, right? Do you like celebrity basketball or just basketball?
I was gonna say, how much does he like it?
I think he made that clear.
And I was like, okay, but you know, if you want to come by, we're usually there Saturday afternoons. It's like, yeah. Now, again, the thing that I'm most confused about in life, it's not the part where you don't show up. Mm-hmm. It's the part where you don't feign a little interest.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Let me check my schedule.
It was my biggest argument, like when someone would cancel on Loveline. Mm-hmm. They'd go, I got to get up and jog in the morning. And I'd go, just say you're sick. Right. Just say you're sick. You can't make it. I'm not going to check up on you. You know what I mean? I'll probably assume you're not sick. But just say you have a stomach flu. Can't come in. Sorry, we'll reschedule. No. Don't just go, not into it. Mm-hmm. Don't feel like leaving.
Some of the time, maybe.
Yeah, so worse. Like at this point, Craig's supposed to go, oh, well, there you go. Where is that? What's the address?
Let me get the address. Check my schedule.
And then you do that thing that kind of softens. Well, this weekend's bad, but let me check my schedule. And then you get the address, and then you throw it away, and you never show up. But you don't.
But you have a pleasant exchange.
I play with Gary Shandling. Okay.
So that's what you did with Shotgun Tom and the Tonight Show set?
I got
a Leno's fake set.
No, of course. I go, sounds awesome. Yeah. Tell me all about it. But I never going to go to San Diego and hang up with Shotgun. Wait, let me hear that one more time. I want to hear about Shotgun Tom Kelly's in San Diego.
Bumble. You want the whole thing?
I do, because I like the Bumble all.
The reason I come here is to inspire people having a tough time getting out of bed of the boredom. And if you think I am intimidated by your midday television Miami Emmy, I worked in South Florida. I worked at number one Y100, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, in the pub. And I'm going to tell you something. I happen to be personal friends with Shotgun Tom Kelly. And that man has 6 Daytime Emmy Awards from local programming in San Diego, all kids' shows. Because that man has a heart and a big hat. But he wants to raise those kids because the parents, sometimes sadly, aren't around to do for themselves.
Like, we offered up, I'm personal friends with Shotgun Tom as a way to impress you.
It gets funnier the more you hear the Powerball. You have an air check at Shotgun Tom Kelly? Is he still around?
No, sure.
All right, sorry.
Shotgun Tom Kelly.
It's me. Better believe it, baby. I heard that you could use $19,000 cash. We got it.
in the Money Music Medley, and I want you to win it today, man. I'm telling you, it's exciting right here on the radio. Are you ready, baby? On Oldies Radio, K-Earth 101.
The post, Tom.
At the post.
That's how it's done.
I may be making that trip out to San Diego. There's a theory calling Jeff from San Diego, has thoughts about Brian and the mystery backpack. Let me just quickly, because this is good broadcasting, in 30 seconds, let's just review and set the table. You, Christy, discovers a mystery backpack on your porch, coming home from working out the morning. Mm-hmm. You realize that the evening before, a person who was trying to get in your house, not break in your house, but use the keys to get in, obviously disoriented or drunk or something.
Or confused.
Yeah. Confused. Left the backpack, their backpack. Backpack had some information, had a computer in it, had some notes, had some mail with some addresses on it. It was not the kind of thing, stuff with junk that you just sort of throw behind, a homeless person would leave behind.
Laptop, hard drive.
Like mobile office.
Had a key fob with a black car that was parked close to the front of your house.
Directly, so you can see probably the car in the video. Yeah.
Directly in front of the house. The key fob controlled the car. Right. So that was the car. That was the backpack that went with the car. Mm-hmm. Presumably the owner of the car left the backpack.
The image on the video, the fleeting image of the face, I saw kind of a glimpse of the face, matched the social media pictures of this guy's with the name in the backpack. So we're about 99.5% sure it's the same guy.
Works in the industry, lives in the Sherman Oaks area, and has not come to retrieve the backpack or the car.
Or has not replied to messages on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram saying, "Hey man, I think I have your backpack. Did you lose your backpack? I think I have it."
The car part is equally vexing to me because I'm not sure who. Now,
people do make a habit of leaving their car, sadly, in my neighborhood on my street for days, if not a week or two at a time, if they're going to the airport or something like that.
That is a twist.
That does happen.
That is a wrinkle. All right. So now it's been 48 hours or so.
36 hours. Yeah, it was 10 o'clock last night.
And
10:20.
Not last night. Two nights ago.
Yes.
But
that would be 24 plus another 12, right?
I guess. I mean, Christy discovered it in the morning.
The Ring video is from 10:21 at night on Monday. She discovered it Tuesday. Now it's Wednesday morning.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Whatever that is.
Okay.
Jeff?
Yes, sir.
You know Shotgun Tom Kelly because you're in the San Diego area.
He'd like you to come by.
He predates me, I think. I've only lived here for 10 years.
All right.
I dare you.
So, you have thought on Brian and what he should do with this backpack. Now, again, the last call you make is to the cops in my world, but we're starting to get into a realm of what are we doing here.
Chris can find it, and Jeff will do it after we talk to you, but I posted a poll on Twitter, so I really want to know, like, what should I call the cops at this point? It's been so long. Or don't call the cops. It's a massive hassle. Oh, it's exactly 50-50.
Dead heat?
It's 50-50. Well, also, people presume that the cops are going to fix things.
Right.
Yeah. The cops don't always fix things. They just go, you get your computer stolen, you call the cops, and they go, we're not going to find it. Mm-hmm. So it's like you called the cops, but the cops don't always equal result.
Right.
And also could slow the, like, it's a massive pain in the ass, not for me, but for this guy. Like, the cops are going to have the car, the cops are going to have the backpack.
All right.
You know what I mean? I'd rather just give the guy his stuff.
So, Jeff, what do you think Brian should do?
Well, to your point, Adam, my car got broken into, and I said, hey, like, my stereo, iPod got stolen, and I said, hey, like, do you guys, like do anything about this? And they said, well, we can dust for prints, but it's just going to make a mess, and we're not going to find anybody.
Yes. I know the cops are lethargic, and that especially we've decided, especially here in California, that petty crime is not really crime anymore. Like, we passed a bill.
It's
like
a nuisance.
Anything under $950 in value is not going to be prosecuted or anything. And it's like, okay, I don't know where you want to go here with this thing where, well, it's your stuff and it's in your car and you pay taxes, but somebody stole it and there's really nothing.
Right.
We're not interested in fixing that or remedying that. Oh, I don't know what the broken window theory is exactly. This feels like the exact opposite of that.
You should be so lucky it was just your computer.
And there shall be more of this now that everyone's looking the other, all the cops are looking the other way. And we already have a fatality. And the fatality is some teenage black kid from the Pasadena area. I never stop saying unintended consequences. Guy got his laptop stolen. I've told you guys this before. He wanted the Pasadena popo to go get his laptop because, hey, man, when you're a student and you're 19 and that's $1,400, that's your world, man. Yeah. And it got stolen by this African-American kid. I was probably, I don't know, 18, 19, whatever. Stole the guy's laptop. The guy called the cops, and guess what? He's old-fashioned. He wanted him to go find his laptop. Like, go find this kid who stole, he just stole it. He's running around. Go get it and get it back. And because he wanted it back, he told the cops the kid's got a gun.
Right.
And now the cops are compelled to go look for the guy. Right. If he said he just took the laptop and he doesn't have a gun, then they wouldn't go after him. So the guy said he's got a gun, so they go look for him. And they went look for him, and they found him, and they thought he had a gun, and now he's dead. So these are called unintended consequences, things you don't really think about. And I don't really blame the guy who wanted his computer back because he just wanted the cops to go get his computer and he knew they wouldn't act unless he said he had a gun.
So am I supposed to shoot this guy or is he going to shoot me? Fuck this.
So, Jeff, you'd like Brian to go to the guy's house and return the backpack?
Well, I have a couple questions because I listened to the podcast that dropped today and Lyft and Uber was brought up. And the airport parking thing might be a wrinkle, but if the guy was drunk and took a Lyft back home, he would know where his car was.
Oh, that's a great point.
That's so true.
Yep. And someone, Jeff, so someone pointed out that like, oh, maybe he was dropping, it was a plausible theory. Maybe he was dropping off the backpack for a friend, got confused with the address, and was like, can't get in, I'll just leave the backpack here. This is my friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, what was he going to do with it? How was he going to lock on the way out? You know what I mean? Like, if he dropped the backpack off inside with the keys, what was he going to, how was he going to lock the house on the way out?
Well, he thought he had the keys to the house.
Right, but I'm saying if he was dropping them off for a friend inside the house, which was someone theorized was his intention, how then would he lock the door on the way out?
You could just lock the bottom.
Well, you can lock the bottom, but
inefficient.
But he thought he had the key, right?
He was trying to unlock the lock.
So if he was thinking he was dropping it off and he thought he had the key, then he could use the key to lock it on the way out, right?
But then what would he do with the keys?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of plates spinning here, Jeff. The wrinkle about leaving the car and the no tow zone and the proximity to the airport and dropping it for a few days and not getting cited has added another layer to this croissant.
And that does happen semi often in my neighborhood.
Jeff.
Yeah.
So what would you
that's
do?
That's what I'm saying. But I think that it kind of is veering towards police territory because if someone left the car, someone left the backpack, they haven't returned. And, I don't want to call the popo and get him involved, but it seems like it's veering towards that.
Well,
I voted yes for the popo.
The car is going to have to be towed eventually.
Yes, at some point it will be.
Somebody's going to have to figure this out. Brian.
Oh, let's hear it.
Don't know if you did this. There's usually registration for the car in the glove box.
Oh, yeah.
Does the name match the mail that's inside the backpack?
Oh, that's interesting.
Is that the person's car? Because it seems very curious to me that they're without their car days on end.
Yeah.
Unless there's a leave it there and leave town version of this.
Okay.
Like maybe they're doing the airport parking.
Yeah.
Maybe they're doing the Uber stand thing. Or maybe they're doing the drop it, Uber it to LAX in Portland for 4 days.
That makes sense.
Come back.
That is definitely a possibility. So here's another wrinkle.
How many miles? I know you're near-ish the airport.
I'm not even that close, but I'm conveniently close to the on-ramp to the freeway that goes right to the airport.
You're on the west side.
Yeah, yeah. And so close-ish. Here's another
wrinkle. But you're a $7 Uber ride away from just being dropped off.
Yeah, traffic time.
If you didn't want to pay for airport parking for 5 days, which is $150, you could park in front of your house, take a $7 Uber, drop you off at the airport, go to Portland for 4 days, and come back and get your car.
That might make sense, except for the part where he left his backpack on your
porch. Yeah, the backpack on the porch.
That doesn't make any sense.
God, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's where the booze comes in.
Okay,
I don't know.
Here's another wrinkle. One of the letters in his backpack had the letterhead of an accounting company, presumably his accounting company. So I looked it up and I called the accounting company. I talked to the girl on the receptionist. I'm like, hey, is there an office manager? Or is there an administrator or something I could talk to? She goes, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, well, it's a weird story. I think one of your clients left his backpack at my porch and he might be missing it. So I'm trying to get it back to him, blah, blah, blah. She goes, do you have a name? I'm like, yeah, it's give the name. She goes, oh, as though she, it was clear recognition. You know what I mean? And then she said, well, let me see if I have a number for him or his parents. So clearly they've been doing business there for probably a couple generations. So I got a number.
So
I haven't called it yet.
Why not?
It was literally as I was walking out the door. I was walking out the door to come here.
I think he was murdered.
You got a number.
I got a number that she thinks, the girl thinks may be his. Do we call the number?
Well, it's a two-party consent statement.
I think you have to, or we have to. Rob is 41, Westchester, Pennsylvania. Rob?
Yes, Adam. How you doing?
What are your thoughts? We're all very confusing.
I
do know in this world, between your laptop and your car, that's about 80% of your life.
Yes, like, indeed.
The laissez-faire approach to retrieval on laptop and car is very interesting, and that means it's either not your laptop and not your car, or something has happened to you.
And Chris, you've seen pictures of this guy online and the video. Are you as convinced as I am this is the same guy?
Yeah.
He's distinctive looking in a certain way.
All right. Rob?
This guy is dead.
Oh, God. Uh-huh.
You have gone, you're like two ways through a movie script, or you're already in the second act. You've gone through so much. This guy is 100% dead.
100%. There's no repair on this. Oh, Rob.
He hasn't come back to his car. All these, I can't live an hour without half these items.
Well, now we need to pop the glove box and see if the registration matches the mail that's in the backpack.
Because
now we have to find out whether it is his car.
You
need to call the police.
Oh my God!
They got to do a welfare check on this guy. Have you gone by the address? Have you driven by?
Well, the problem with the address is a few things. One, his car and his keys are with me, so it's less than likely he's at his home. Number two, it's semi far away. Number three, he lives in an apartment complex. Like, he has an apartment number that's 333 or something. So those are notoriously hard to get into, and I don't know I'm allowed to go into those if you don't live there.
Anyone's allowed to do anything.
Okay.
Just
you want Max
anybody.
Zapata to try calling him off the air and see if he answers the phone?
Yes, yes, yes.
Chris?
We definitely have to do that.
Yeah, we got to follow
up. I can't believe you haven't called
him yet. I just got the number 45 minutes ago. I got the number 45 minutes ago.
Yeah, he just got it. Also, there's so much processing here to do.
It's a good pod. How dare you?
In a world where I usually have an idea of, like, there was some motivation. You know, it's like when you talk about Papa John and why did his crisis management team rat him out? And you go, who would do that? You pay this guy and he works for you? And then they go, oh, you owed him $6 million. You go, okay, now it seems pretty clear.
It feels like there's five plausible options.
Chris has an update.
No ring, straight to voicemail.
Ooh.
International travel?
Mm.
He is a producer on shows you would recognize. So, like, he may be traveling internationally.
I think the longer you hold on to this backpack, the more of an accomplice you become. I think you need to get rid of this backpack
record,
for you.
I have a record via Twitter and podcast that I want nothing to do with this backpack. I'd like to get it back to this man. There's like five plausible theories that all have 20% probability. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, that could be.
He produced Stupid Porch Pirates 1 through 15. It's on CW for a number of years.
It's on the Ring Doorbell Network.
These are folks that drop off stuff on people's porch and don't steal it.
And you know, like Bait Car? Bait Pack.
Yeah.
You're a contestant on Bait Pack.
What if I'm under surveillance?
Jesus Christ.
How many hours has it been?
30. Well, it was Monday night to Tuesday night would be 24. Then Tuesday to this morning would be 12. So 36 hours.
Everybody's. I am thoroughly confused.
I don't know what to bet on. If I was like, what theory makes the most sense?
The abroad.
Yeah, the airport, the out of town. Yeah.
The abroad or not with us feels
strong.
Seems to make the most sense. Or somewhere where he's not able to contact the outside world.
Since the accounting firm or whatever they were mentioned the parents, maybe you got to call the parents.
I might have to call the parents.
If the car, I hate to say this, but
Rob, we got it, buddy.
When
I went someone's car keys on the street last week in front of my office, and I had him for 15 minutes. The police were here. I said, "Here you go." So I looked. I did the same thing you did. I walked up and down the street. I pushed the button, the Subaru key, your favorite, Adam. Push the button. No Subarus. I get police. Come get him.
I'm going to float a theory that may not be popular, but I was involved with a situation where, as you brought up the parents, it made me think of this. Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Oh, no.
Well, he's not in the car, I can tell you that much, or the trunk.
I'm saying there were parents, and they went to the airport. Right. No, the kid never showed up, and they were looking, and why isn't he here?
I don't want this.
Well, there's only one plausible answer. It's that David Carradine wrote.
I just texted the man. And by the way, it came up blue, like an iPhone text.
Yeah, so. but it's straight to voicemail, so his phone's not on.
That could mean he could be on airport mode or airplane mode on Wi-Fi, you know what I mean?
Mm. I think you got to call mom and dad.
Mm. All right. Rob, thank you for your input. Jesus Christ. I didn't even know.
The poll's 50-50.
Normally when you do stuff like this, you'd go, all right, who bets on this scenario and who bets on that scenario? I don't even know that we have scenarios exactly.
No, we have like pieces that could float in and out of other scenarios.
Yes. All right.
Airport and drunk could be on the table together.
Right. Yes. All right. Let's see. Oxnard Levity Live. That'll be tomorrow and Saturday, December 13th and 14th. I'll be there. Two shows Friday. Two shows Saturday. And I'm Adam Ray's going to be there on Saturday, I believe. Right. And we have ball pullers for Friday.
Yeah, I'm choosing them.
We've worked it out. All right. Let me hit a spot. And then we have a I'll take a break and do a Bollywood. You did Knives Out, right?
Yeah, I did.
I hear great things, and I have no idea what that movie. I have no idea what that movie's about.
You're actually better off. You should probably do your best to avoid as much information as possible. Aside from my review, I'll give as little information about the plot as possible. But Chris saw it without knowing much about it, and it really benefited.
We have women most disgusted to have sex with me 20 through 11 as we count down. Craig Ferguson is here. Good. I'm very interested in talking to him. All right, Wolf and Shepherd. This episode brought to you by Wolf and Shepherd. Right now, they're offering their biggest promotion of the year. For my listeners, most comfortable dress shoes on the planet. It's like dress shoes for people who have to get stuff done. I will tell you how comfortable these dress shoes are. I went out and shot my stand-up special in San Diego. I pulled out their loafers. Loafers you normally have to break in.
Yeah, they're slippery.
I have my dog walker break
my right. Yeah.
Well, I got rid of I'm not so rich that I have a dog walker and a loafer breaker in her, but I combined the two activities, and now I just pay the one guy who wears the loafers and breaks them in. He's now out because Wolf and Shepherd are in. Because they're super comfortable loafer. You can run a marathon. Somebody won a half marathon in their shoes. I just took their – I literally brought them to San Diego. I popped them right out of the box. I popped them right on my feet, and I did two – 90-minute stand-up shows, and there's a lot of pacing and moving around and on your feet, and you would never try that with just your basic garden variety loafer. So dress shoes that feel like running shoes. And now through December 13th, it's coming tomorrow, Wolf and Shepherd is offering $101 off any purchase over $300 when you use the promo code Adam. By far the biggest sale of the year. Do not miss out. These are great
and super comfortable dress shoes. Right, Dawson?
Visit wolfandshepherd.com/Adam and use promo code Adam. That's Wolf, ANDSHEPHERD.com/Adam for $101 off any purchase over $300.
All right, quick break. We'll come back. We'll do a Bollywood Knives Out right after this.
ACS fans, get it on. The Corolla Drinks newsletter is underway at CorollaNewsletter.com.
Every week, we'll bring you inside the hallowed halls of ACS with behind-the-scenes stories from Adam, the lackeys, co-hosts, and ACS regulars. We'll also bring you exclusive video from Adam that you can't see anywhere else, deals you can't get anywhere else, guest updates, and highlights from the week that was ACS. Sign up today for a Corolla Drinks deal that should see you stocked with all the booze you'll need until 2020 or the upcoming apocalypse, whichever comes first. So head to CorollaNewsletter.com today and get ready, because every week, the Ace Man will be right there in your inbox. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man. On the list of things that we can fix but probably won't, how about not having your horn blare every time you lock your goddamn car? Just saying.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, I think mine only does it if you redundantly hit it. If you hit it a second time and it's already locked, it gives a little tootski. But I like the, I can't remember, it was a commercial, and it was from that movie, that underrated movie that we love so much. I will figure it all out in a second. It had a Nash Rambler or something, had a city horn and a country horn. And I remember it running in a commercial of a movie. Oh, Diner. It was in Diner. For some reason, I have some recollection of like them standing in the living room and there's a commercial like city horn, country horn.
Oh, really?
From the movie Diner. Super underrated and great movie.
Love that movie.
Max Pat, put on your homework list, the Diner, car commercial, city horn, country horn. Weird thought.
I'll bring the DVD in.
All right. So, sorry, Bollywood.
Yeah.
Hooray for Bollywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Bollywood.
Knives Out is in theaters now. It is written and directed by a man named Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson is best known for directing the most recent Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi, which was not well received, especially by me. But he also did Looper, which I love. I love Looper. You seen Looper, right? Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No, I want to see it. I hear it's great.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Is that the one?
Yeah. It's a time travel movie set in the near future. It's really, really good. Anyhow, Rian Johnson is back writing and directing Knives Out. This is a huge ensemble cast. Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Christopher Plummer, Jamie Lee Curtis, Don Johnson, Toni Collette, Catherine Langford, Michael Shannon, Lakeith Stanfield, Ricky Lindholm, Emmett Walsh, who replaced Ricky Jay, who died during production.
Wow.
So Emmett Walsh was in this. Frank Oz and Ana de Armas, who was just fantastic. He's the de facto star of the movie. It's an ensemble piece, as you can see. But if there's a main character, it's Ana de Armas' maid character, and she is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The plot is sort of an homage to Agatha Christie, you know, whodunits, you know.
Sitting in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes, maybe 96 or 7.
97.
Like, very highly rated.
When it came out, it was 100%. It dropped a couple points. But
and I think the people have it very high, so across the board,
92 with the people. Yeah,
okay.
It is universally admired and enjoyed, and I really enjoyed the movie even more than I thought I was going to. I saw the high score and I was like, this ought to be good. And I was quite pleasantly surprised. The plot's an homage to Agatha Christie, you know, those old whodunit novels, Murder on the Orient Express. It's very much a homage to that. So Harlan Thrombey. Christopher Plummer. He is this very successful, very wealthy, very old author of mystery novels. You know, kind of a play on the whole genre. He writes mystery novels, and in the film's opening moments, we find Harlan Thrombey dead, throat slit, knife in hand, apparent suicide. Mm-hmm. Or is it?
Mm-hmm.
He's the patriarch, right, of this large family of mostly entitled assholes. Like, everyone's just, you know, it's this rich, entitled asshole. And all of whom we meet very early in the film. And they were gathered to celebrate his 85th birthday the night before he turned up dead. And every one of them has a alibi, but they all have a motive.
Is this movie funny?
It's hilarious.
Is this like a more sophisticated Clue?
It's yes, absolutely. I liked it more than most people. Bad Times of the El Royale. This mm-hmm. is kind of like that, but it's much more of a streamlined, focused thriller in the old mold of, like, you know, Agatha Christie stories.
Mysteries.
Yeah.
Is it billed as a comedy?
Dark comedy. Yes. If you see. You guys might dig up the trailer.
I think I saw the trailer. I still wasn't sure. But anyway.
While you guys look for that, it's very much in the tone of a dark comedy. There are a couple of laugh out loud moments and some really good chuckles. And it's just a smart movie. So what happens is the police bring everyone together, right? All the family. You were here the night before. He's turned up dead in the morning. Let's interview everyone one by one. And there's this mysterious character, like literally in the background, like in the back of the room. And it turns out to be Benoit Blanc, the famous detective played by Daniel Craig. And here is Benoit Blanc interviewing or not interrogating, questioning Jamie Lee Curtis, who is Christopher Plummer's oldest daughter.
By the way, Rotten Tomatoes on my screen mm-hmm. has it as drama, mystery, and suspense. I wonder why they should have put some comedy in there, right?
It should be a comedy. I saw it.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
Why don't they do that? All right, here we go. Sorry.
Mr. Blanc, I know who you are. I read your profile in The New Yorker. I found it delightful. I just buried my 85-year-old father who committed suicide. Why are you here?
I'm here at the behest of a client.
Who?
I cannot say, but let me assure you this. My presence will be ornamental. You will find me a respectful, quiet, passive observer of the truth.
Now, the accent's a little over the top.
What do we do about that?
The accent's a little over the top. It fits with the tone of the movie, and the tone of the movie is perfect because it never wavers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's over the top, and everything in the movie is a little over. Every character is a little bit of a
heightened.
Yeah, heightened. A little bit of a caricature, but also, you know, very believable. And they even lampshaded a couple times. Like, one character calls him Foghorn Leghorn. One character calls him CSI KFC. Like, it's funny. They have a lot of fun with it. The Golden Globe nominee for Best Picture, Best Actor, Daniel Craig, and Best Actress, Ana de Armas.
Now, Sonny is 13 and funny. He's got a sense of humor. Could I see this movie with Sonny?
This is totally appropriate for, yeah.
Or would he actually enjoy it?
Yes.
He'd follow
it. He's got a good sense of humor.
He'd follow it. It's not a comedy, but there are dark comic elements throughout, and it is it's appropriate for teenagers.
Yeah.
For 13-year-olds.
I don't care. Oh. I'm not a good parent. I'm care.
Yeah, he'll get it. Actually, you know what? Let me even double back. He'll enjoy the comedy. The comedy is right up his alley.
Okay.
Like I said, Golden Globe nominee. I would be shocked if it was not up for Best Original Screenplay. It's so clever. And dare I say, this will be one of the few movies that has that high Rotten Tomatoes score. Usually what happens is, like, you know, with A Quiet Place is a great example. Had that really high mm-hmm. Rotten Tomatoes score. People started to see it, like, you know, word of mouth. And they're like, it wasn't that good. It's like, no, it really wasn't that good. I think people are going to like this. This is one that everyone's going to enjoy.
Well, it's got a high audience score as well. And it's been out for a couple weeks, I think.
It's really good. And
so, good. I'm going to go see it.
At least a couple Oscar nominations.
Nice.
Good.
Yeah. Hooray for Bollywood!
Is Don Johnson having a bit of a renaissance?
He was the best I've ever liked Don Johnson on screen.
Yeah, I mean, between Eastbound and Down and Watchmen, he's doing so much TV. I love that he's around again.
He was great in...
Drive to Cost Concrete.
Yeah, no, Unchained.
Django. That's right.
Yeah. He really was great in this movie. Everyone's great. He directs actors really well.
Off the subject, I don't know if I was telling you guys, I can't remember if I was talking about on this show, that do we need the word skimp and the word scrimp?
It got brought up.
But I now have another word I'd like to eliminate. I don't need whittled down and winnowed down.
Winnowed?
I don't know winnowed.
Winnowed. You guys don't know winnowed?
No.
Maybe when you hear winnowed, you think whittled. or something like butt naked and buck naked or something like that. Yeah, okay. They kind of do the same thing. Winnowed is it's out there. Like I've heard it used, and I've heard it used in if you well maybe this is not going to be an argument, but I think at the beginning of Dennis Miller's old radio show, he'd say winnow down. Winnow down is the same as whittle down. It has to do, it's sort of removing the chaff from the wheat. But it's really, that's what it was. Okay. But it really just means, you know, oh, we have a party. There's 50 people on it. We need to winnow it down to our favorite 25. We can't accommodate.
Yeah, we don't need them both.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, it's to blow something away until there's nothing left. But it's used as get the shrink, that narrow it down, get it down. But it's same as whittle. Yeah. And I wonder.
I believe you. I never heard it.
It's a weird word. It's used. It's been used a lot. I don't know where its origins are. But am I the only winnowed in here?
Yeah.
Check Craig Ferguson. I bet he knows winnowed down. He's from another country. He's got to be smarter
another
than
land,
us.
Another land, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So are we going to winnow down our list of, or whittle down?
That's right.
Of women who don't want to be butt or buck naked with me?
We took your nominations and your votes on Twitter and Facebook and ranked the women who'd be most disgusted to have sex with Adam. Yesterday, we ran down numbers 30 through 21. And before we name disgustees 20 through 11, let's go through some of the notable swings from last year's list. She fell out of the headlines and off the list, going mercifully from number 9 last year to number 67. Dr. Christine Blasey Ford.
Yeah.
Give her the winner privacy.
A perennial on the list, number 20 last year, tumbles to number 45 on this year's ranking. She got banned from the top 30 like she got banned from speaking at Berkeley. Ann Coulter. Just like her weight over the years, there's been a wild fluctuation. Oprah Winfrey going from number 13 to number 55.
She'd be more interested now?
Dropping from a respectable number 19 to 38. Maybe it was because she's now friends with George W. Bush. She danced her way off the list this year. Ellen DeGeneres.
Hey, see her, Liam.
The slide continues. Number 1 in 2017.
What?
Number 14 in 2018. 2019 finds her at number 52, but she'd still be disgusted to have sex with Ace. Lena Dunham. Mm.
Number 1 2 years ago. Mm. It's like Calvin Johnson, like, decline.
She's going to not be happy about this news. This is a big drop.
Big blow for her.
We'll start this list close to home. As a boob man, it would be the best day of his life and the worst of hers. Mm. Gina Grad, coming in at number 20.
Thank you, I'm honored.
Why are you nodding?
I like beauty, and I take what I need. Sorry, I was rubbing my back of my hand on Gina's cheek.
Yeah.
Keeping it in the family, moving way up the list from number 100 last year, she'd be as scared of having sex with Adam as Phil is scared of her. Olga, coming in at number 19.
Strong.
She should be lower.
The list wouldn't be complete without this MVP, most vomiting person. Number 18, Rosie O'Donnell. On a related note, with Rosie and Whoopi Goldberg on the list, number 17 is our third View host, who would rather view an oncoming train than him coming. Joy Behar.
Oh, that's not fair.
She'd never stop crying if they had sex, but he'd never stop trying to parlay it into a Pete Davidson-style pussy party. Number 16, Ariana Grande.
That's solid.
Yeah.
She'd lock herself in the room and never come out after having not-so-marvelous sex with him. Number 15, Brie Larson.
Yeah, that's fair.
That makes sense.
She's wild.
We had to look this one up.
Oh, no.
She became a meme known as Triggered Feminist on 4chan and Reddit. She's now number 14 on our list, whoever the fuck she is. Ficky Fiona.
Oh, she's, yeah, she looks outraged.
That's exactly what she would look like if you tried to have sex with him.
If he had sex with her, she'd never be able to shake it off. Number 13, Taylor Swift. As a gay male, he qualifies for the list. He'd actually put a noose around his neck instead of staging it. Jussie Smollett makes his debut at number 12.
Inspired. Inspired choice.
Inspired.
And finally, number 11. They roasted Alec Baldwin. Love racing and share some of the same political views. But after sex with Adam, she'd have trouble finding a bathroom in North Carolina to vomit in. Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh,
I disagree with this one.
We will run down the top 10 tomorrow and find out who would be most disgusted to have sex with Adam.
You know, I got to protest vigorously with Caitlyn Jenner because I think if we made love, it'd be like that scene with Nick Cage in Gone in 60 Seconds. Mm-hmm. Where
it's just car talking.
He's in the car and he's like synchro mesh, four speed, dual quad carb, side draft Weber. And he's like rubbing her leg. And then she's.
That's their dirty talk. It's just like car parts.
Talk, yeah. She's like profile and lobe height on a cam. Port and polish on a head, O-ringed heads, 40 pounds of boost on a turbo. And she's like, whoever wrote that should have had their license to write removed.
Yeah, at least suspended. At least.
Somebody should have read that when, are you in the Writers Guild? Yeah, oh, not anymore.
Yeah, I'm filing a complaint.
This is really an attack. Right. I get what you're doing here. This is it's like a 9-year-old wrote that scene. Mm-hmm. Like they both love cars
it's absurd.
So much that
I thought it would be your favorite scene.
It's her and Angelina. It's Angelina Jolie and Nick Cage in a car, and at some point he says triple side draft Webers, which I do like as a Datsun guy, because you would put triple side draft Webers or possibly McCoonies on a Datsun straight six. Let me hear that scene.
It's getting hot now.
It's comical.
Gina, you feel it?
They're making out.
Doesn't work on a lot of girls, though.
I just blurted it out.
Couldn't be any chemistry between these two, but right? In real life.
Answer the question.
Oh, they're a stakeout.
You see, the problem is, how do you get over the shifter?
Oh right, because the
because it gets in the way.
Because you wouldn't want to disrupt the synchro mesh, right? Or the throttle linkage.
Throttle linkage. Throttle linkage has nothing to do with the transmission.
All the blood's going to do is Wang at this point. It's Angelina Jolie's atop them.
Throttle linkage.
So much.
Overhead camshaft.
Blurting out.
I gotta ruin a moment.
Triple Weber carburetors.
Triple Webers.
Bolted to each other's body structures.
All right, hold on a second. So first off, the transmission. And the synchro mesh, the gears and the transmission, and the throttle linkage have nothing to do with one another. And the triple Webers bolted to the body structure. They're bolted to the head of the engine. It's nothing to do with the body. Fake, I say.
Fake. You know what the other big problem with that movie is? That was one of the trailers. In the 2 minutes, they featured Angelina Jolie heavily because she was very hot, literally and figuratively at the time. She was very hot. And in the movie, she takes about 11 minutes of screen time.
Right.
She's hardly in the movie, but she's all over the trailer.
Yeah, they had that great scene where she slide. They do that. They used to. There's a couple of scenes they used to love back in the day. Every good movie had the mechanics creeper slide. Like they'd walk in, you'd see a couple of work boots and some dungarees.
Oh, yeah.
Like legs.
Underneath,
like the Wicked Witch where the house landed on top of her. And they'd go, I need someone who can work on a Ferrari 488. And all of a sudden the hot chick would just slide out. But she'd have perfect makeup but one scuff of grease on her cheek.
Just shows you've been working hard.
And she's like, I know Ferraris. And it's like, oh, hot person. It was like literally, it was a horizontal version of like, ha-ha, like opening a curtain. Like people would slide out and just reveal themselves. Sometimes it was crusty mechanic. Sometimes it was like dad who'd overheard.
Right.
Sometimes it was hot chick who you couldn't tell was hot because she's wearing the jeans and the boots. Right. And then she slides out.
It's the on the spectrum of the guy waiting in the living room in a dark room and turning the lamp on when you walk in.
They do a lot of reveals. Max Pata, she slides out and reveals, and she's so into cars that when she makes out, she has to talk about overhead camshafts and throttle linkage. But you think that's into cars. She drinks from a container that is used to put oil into the crankcase.
That's how much she loves cars.
She drinks.
That doesn't seem
that's
safe.
Her weapon of choice for holding liquids is something that's used to hold oil. It's like an oil can.
Yeah.
And she takes a hit off that.
Oh, she's so hardcore.
Maybe there was lubricant in the can. Like, maybe she's that into the automotive world. But she slides out. She announces that the rotors are warped because some grandma's been driving this Ferrari. Not driving it like she would drive it. Then she takes a hit off an oil can.
How is this not your favorite movie?
It is my favorite movie. It's also, of course, sadly, the one where, what's his name, Duvall. Is playing him tapes of the music. You got to find that clip. What is that?
I just got handed a 2-page list of engine components and parts.
No.
Oh, I don't need that, but thank you.
Why'd you do that?
They're all in my head.
I can't find Angelina Jolie's screen time, but the AV Club refers to it as a cameo.
It's a cameo. She drank from an oil cameo. She was in the fat scene. Then she bartended. She bartended. That's another thing I want to add to my list. I want to add to my list where two things. I got two things to add to my list. Of course, that's my list. Having my hands registered, having a cape removed, diving into a body. I want to throw an exclusive cocktail party. It's my house. It's my cocktail party. At some point, some out of breath young messenger type comes dashing in.
Okay.
And I say, what's the meaning of this? In the middle of my party, he goes, you're going to want to see this. And he pulls out some documentation or some pictures or something. I want that to happen.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Everyone looks at me and I say, what's the meaning of this?
We could pull this off next week at the Corolla Company Christmas party.
No, he said exclusive.
It's got to be like exclusive cocktail party. At first, I'm upset, but as it turns out, the person has information.
Right.
They're out of breath.
Yeah, that's
now,
good.
I want that. I also want the part where I'm now working a different kind of job, like bartending or something like that, and some hot chick comes up to me and goes, she comes back. We know each other, obviously. We've had a past, and she wants me to get back into podcasting. And I'm like... I don't know. And I'm endlessly wiping a mug with this.
I don't do that anymore.
That was a lifetime ago.
That was a different lifetime.
That was a different lifetime. And she's like, we need one more ride. And do one more podcast.
One more
pod. And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what happened last time we did that?
Yeah, and Joe Rogan said no.
That was then. Right. So I'd like to add that to my list. Do you have the scene where she slides out? It's right in the middle of the movie.
Should be hard to find. She's on screen for 10 minutes.
He goes and gets her. She's around the movie a little bit. She pops up and down. He goes and gets her and recruits her. He goes into the Ferrari place. Mm. Oh, here she is. All right, let me hit Tommy John. Then we got to bring Craig Ferguson in here because I'm very interested in talking to him. But get ready with that. Tommy John, gifting season finally here, everybody. Tommy John, save your holiday season with gifts. To eliminate the awkward adjustment for men and women. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. Literally will not go back to whatever I was formerly wearing. I have just made them into rags to wipe the car down with. They're the best. They travel great. I was just talking to Lynch about this because he came out here. It's like you can roll them up into the size of a like medium-sized cigar and throw them in your backpack. Perfect. And leave them on Brian's porch. Mm-hmm. Lightweight, breathable fabric, multi-directional stretch. The bras are great for women. The underpants are great for women. They've eliminated the panty line. It's Tommy John. It's the best. You'll never get a wedgie. It's guaranteed.
if the first pair isn't the best you've ever worn, you'll get your money back, but it is the best. Right, Dawson?
Leave the jingling to the bells and give the gift of comfort this holiday with limited edition gifts like loungewear, pajamas, and underwear from Tommy John. Plus, save 20% on your first order when you visit TommyJohn.com/Adam. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off.
All right. We got her slide now. Oh, her name was Sway.
Sway.
After a sway bar. She was named after a car part.
Yeah. You warped all four rotors. You must have been riding those brakes like an old lady.
That's right. Sounds like the left bank's running lame.
Sounds like there's carbon monoxide in that place. Anyway, she slides out to expose the hotness that is in is Angelina Jolie, although this is a weird internet version of it, Max Pata, that seems like people are on ether and you can't see anyone's face. I don't know why. Here's what I want to say about the internet. Why is the first offering the worst offering? Mm. Like, why is it the weird?
Well, here's the thing. So it's not streaming anywhere. And Kaylin found a version on YouTube. But in order to have it on YouTube without it getting flagged, you have to morph it.
Anyways, if they don't show her taking a hit off of the oil jug.
What's the point?
Yeah. All right. Craig Ferguson is here. Very interested in talking to him. Hobo Fabulous is the name of his 6-part series on Amazon and Apple. We'll talk to him right after this. Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. Completely legal, and it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for? You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.